the rest of the story. For 10 years, when the United States Fish and Wildlife Service wanted the tough jobs done, they called their top gun Wyoming Dick Randall. Leathery-faced, rock-hard, rail-thin hunter, otherwise exterminator of the predators that threaten ranchers' livestock. And as such, Dick Randall was the best there was. Bobcat, coyote, black bear, Dick stalked them all on the ground and shot them from the air. He trapped them, he poisoned them, he kindled sagebrush in their dens and burned them alive. Dick had heard all of the arguments against that such wholesale killing cost the government 4 times the value of the sheep lost to predators, that it didn't accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish anyway, that herders and guard dogs would be more effective, and that it was cruel, but nobody knew better than Wyoming Dick Randall how cruel nature itself was. And as for the rest of it, well, as far as Dick was concerned, he was doing humanity a favor. And thus did he contribute his lethal expertise to the predator problem. One day to become Top Gun, the holder of the Wyoming state record for aerial coyote combat, 42 shot dead from a low-flying airplane in 1 6-hour onslaught. And still his bread-and-butter operation was trapping. After scores of black bears and hundreds of bobcats and more than 4,000 coyotes trapped and destroyed, Dick Randall stopped counting, but this is the rest of the story. One day, Dick and his 11-year-old son, Andy, were checking the trap lines when they encountered a bobcat snared in a steel jaw leg hold. From the looks of the animal, spattered with dried blood, dehydrated, exhausted, it had been there for several days. Routine, a bang on the head or a slug in the brain, bag the varmint and move on. But today Dick and son Andy would get a surprise. As they walked up to the mostly dead animal, it suddenly came alive with a vengeance. It leaped at them, it hit the end of the trap's chain and dropped like an anvil, and gazing up in silent torment at the man and the boy, it died. I mean, it just dropped, and staring right at them, it died. After a moment or two, 11-year-old Andy spoke. He said, "Look, Dad." He said, "The light just went out of its eyes." Mm-hmm. And Dick had seen it too, but as the seasoned U.S. government Terminator gazed back into those now vacant, sightless, lifeless, lightless eyes, still trained on his own, another kind of light seeped through the tiny cracks and intruded on the darkness and shone brilliant and warm in a small secret place in the heart of the hunter. There is another poignant portrait I'd like to leave in your mind. It might have been painted any day over the past 16 years. It's that of a leathery-faced, white-haired gentleman in jeans, roaming the high plains of western Wyoming down through the Kilpecker Dunes into the place where the Indian paintbrush bursts into red and orange flame. Around his neck, a pair of binoculars. He's not carrying a gun. For 16 years, he has not needed one, nor a steel jaw trap, nor a cyanide charge, nor a packet of strychnine. And he's not alone, trailing behind him like ducklings, watching all around in wide-eyed wonder our school children on the most unforgettable field trip of their lives into the land of wild horses and golden eagles and coyote and bobcat. And when they stop for a rest out there on the trail, old Dick Randall, now famous in those parts, might tell his young pals how he came to do what he does, about the morning the dawn came up in his mind, and why it's so important for the light to stay in your eyes. And maybe if there's time, they'll listen and learn, as you now have, the rest of the story.